All right, family, welcome to the show. It is National Black HIV Awareness Day. Big Rob.
Yes, sir.
And joining the conversation, I'll tell you, it's a tale of two different cities. It's 72 degrees right now in Orlando, Florida. That's where Joshua and Adam was at. And what is it right now? Where are we at, Big Rob?
What's about 2 degrees.
About 2 degrees. Ooh. There you go. Yeah. Oh, no.
Whiteout conditions. You can't see us in front of you.
Yeah, the tale of two different worlds. How you doing, Josh?
I'm doing well, man. It's nice to see some celebrities again. We got Big Rob and PA on here, and you know, we're doing well. Appreciating this nice 70 something degree weather in Florida.
There you go. What about you, Adam? How you doing, brother?
Yeah, it's great, and I'm loving this warm weather. I'm gonna go lay out by the pool later on.
Rub it in, Adam. Rub it in, brother. Before we get started, are you originally from South or from Miami?
Yeah, I'm from South Florida, so born in Miami.
Yeah, so this, you used to this all your life. Now, Josh, where were you raised at?
Rochester, New York, and I had the wisdom to relocate. I love Rochester, I love New York, but it was just too darn cold.
There you go. So, I know today we're talking about HIV awareness, particularly in the Black community. I don't know who wants to start off, Adam or Joshua. Why is there a need to specifically have a HIV awareness day for Blacks?
Yeah. So, I mean, you were actually just playing at the intro. There was, talking about the number of people who don't know their HIV status in Michigan, right? Being something like 1 in 9. But for Black people in general, it's more like 1 in 7, right? So we are disproportionately at risk for HIV. So it makes sense to have this awareness day. And just in general of, you know, Black people, we make up maybe 13% of the population, but about 43% of the new HIV cases, right? So this is really something that disproportionately affects, African-Americans. And so something that we need to spread awareness of and have conversations about this, and also highlighting the work that's being done to sort of eradicate this disease.
Say that percentage again, that we represent what percentage of the cases?
43%. And, you know, and then it breaks down even, you can break it down even further, right? So if you're, you know, a Black gay man who has sex with other men, or if you're a man who has sex with other men, your lifetime chances of getting HIV are 50%. So that means, you know, you have a 1 in 2 chance in your lifetime of becoming HIV positive. So in particular, we need to get a message out, you know, to our same gender loving men of color that, you know, they need to really focus on protection and protecting themselves so that we can, you know, bring these numbers down.
Wow. How is it in Orlando? I know Orlando had topped Atlanta at one time.
Right there. Yeah. We're right up there. And, the Orlando metropolitan statistical area, right? So that's Orlando, Kissimmee, and Sanford. It's number 5 in the country for new HIV cases. And Orlando in general is number 2 in Florida. Miami is number 1.
Wow. Josh, what you want to say regards to this, man?
Well, I mean, Adam is our prevention manager, and he's very talented public health professional. So all those stats and everything I certainly concur with. But I just want to shine a little bit of light on the importance of everyone getting tested. And if you do test positive for anything, whether it's HIV or any STI, get into care, get into treatment. There is no shame in being HIV positive, and there is no shame in discovering that you are positive for an STI. We just want you to get healthy. You know, we don't care so much about who you're with and what you're doing and those private matters. But we care about your health, and HIV and STIs is largely a public health issue, and we want to recognize it as such at Hope and Health.
Rob, go ahead.
Now, what's the difference? You hear STDs and STIs. What is the difference?
Yeah, I mean, that's really there really is no difference in so much as it's just preferred language. You know, I think people hear, and one of the things, you know, Joshua sort of hinted at is people talk a lot about stigma, right? And there's a lot of stigma surrounding HIV. And that's one of the things we're trying to, you know, to address with this day of awareness is to get people talking about it, right? When you hear the word disease, you know, I know for in people's minds, it, you know, it brings to mind some, you know, some more unsettling type ugly images, right? But when you hear something that's an infection, you say, oh, you know, this is treatable. I can deal with this. I can fix this, which is the case, you know, with HIV and other STDs. You know, everything is treatable. Many of them are curable, right? And an important message with HIV is, you know, once you get into treatment, you can bring down your viral load to such a low level that you cannot transmit the disease at all. And so you can have a healthy, you know, normal sexual relationship and love life and not put anyone at risk. So
yeah, and I know when HIV and AIDS first came out, it was like if you cough on somebody that has HIV, cough on you, you could catch HIV. Can you break down some of the things over all this time that they studied, that they found, all that? How do you catch? Because it's not just gay men that's catching it. There's heterosexual males that are catching it from females that are heterosexual catching it, you know, vice versa. So can you break all that down?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and definitely this is not just a gay man's disease. This is really, you know, everyone is at risk for HIV, anyone who has sex. So that's you, me, that's everyone, every shade of color and, you know, and every way of choice of lifestyle. Right. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, HIV is spread through, you know, sexual fluids. Right. So
right.
You know, men can pass it to women. Women can pass it to men. It can also be spread through blood. So people who, you know, inject drugs are at higher risk. And then it can also be passed through breast milk, right? So a mother can pass it to her child, right? But everything else is just, you know, fictitious, right? That, you know, you can't spread it from coughing on someone.
You ain't gonna get it from sitting on a toilet. If somebody cough on you? You won't get it.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. That's all just, you know, people thought you could get it from mosquito bites. None of that.
Right.
Hey, Rob, we got an online comment. Can you take that question?
Yes, this is from Treasure X Crenshaw. Last time I heard statistics, Black women disproportionately had HIV versus any other demographic. Why do y'all think that is so, considering people say it's a homosexual disease?
Yeah. So that's a great question. That's a great question. So worldwide, you know, if you're looking at everyone in the world, you know, so we take into consideration, you know, our brothers and sisters in Africa, in Asia, and in the world. Yeah, heterosexual women, particularly Black women of color, are the group that's most disproportionately affected by HIV. You know, and so yeah, I mean that is definitely something that I don't think a lot of people are aware of. You know, they think, oh, this is a, you know, gay man's disease, but you know, that's more if you're thinking about, you know, the United States. And, you know, the proportion of people who are affected by HIV. But once you expand it to this worldview, you see that that women in heterosexual relationships are the most at risk.
Maybe Josh might elaborate on this because we have talked about this before. Is it still because of women that sleep with men on the down low and they don't know?
That is a factor. You know, there are many other factors that come into place, but when you look at, you know, some of the issues associated with HIV transmission, such as those who have been incarcerated, and you know, I find it very interesting that when, you know, you go through the whole process of, you know, getting jailed, you know, they test you for everything, but coming out, it's like, okay, well, good luck. So it's like, well, what the heck happened to me, you know, while I was there? Like, you know, is there a means test or something after, like a post test to see where I am? And, you know, thankfully, Hope and Help has a service where we go into the jails in Orange County and we test folks post-release and those who are, you know, still in jail. But for a lot of situations, you know, we have that group that you know, they engaged in same-sex relationships. They might not identify it as such themselves, but that's basically what happened in jail. And then they go home and they, you know, find, you know, Miss Thing, and, you know, things happen. And, you know, a lot of women sometimes don't really feel empowered enough to ask about your sexual background, your sexual status, your health status. And, you know, we make so many assumptions, and sometimes guys can be a little bit overpowering, and, you know, it's, you know, well, you're going to have me or nobody else. And, you know, all these sorts of negative, tormenting thoughts. And so unfortunately, our women kind of fall succumb to that. And, you know, it puts their lives at risk. But there is no shame in asking whoever you're going to be having sex with, show me your test results. Right. You know, we want to empower everybody, both men, women, gay, straight, black, white, whoever you are. You should be asking somebody that. And there's no shame in doing that. And if someone is throwing you an attitude or creating this negative dissonance because you asked that question, then that should be a red flag.
Right. Right. Now, what should we, as, you know, residents, because I didn't know they did the same thing in Florida. You get tested going in, mm-hmm. but you don't get tested coming out of prison.
Right.
What? How could we fix that? Because that, to me, is broken. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're getting tested coming in, you should be getting tested going out too.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, not to say, you know, everybody is that's in prison for any length of time is engaging in those type of activities. Right. But at the same token, if I came in here negative, I should be leaving out of here negative.
Well,
what can we do?
That would be one presumption, you know, and there's actually, you know, two ends of that spectrum there. There are some prisons that, you know, we're told where they test people going in, and then there's others where they test people going out, but not coming in. You know, so there's many conversations that are had on both ends of that, you know, but we just want people to be honest about, you know, their sexual health status and to seek the resources necessary to maintain a healthy lifestyle, you know, whether you're positive or not. You know, if you are positive, take your medication. You know, stay in treatment, find other resources that are at your disposal. There's support groups, there's mental health counseling, all these different resources that are at our disposal for our use so that we can ultimately just be healthy and well, you know. But, you know, when it comes to the whole prison thing, it's not as prevalent as one might assume.
Okay. What's not as prevalent?
The idea of a guy being on the DL and coming out of, you know, jail and then back to his female partner. Okay. It's one of them.
I've been to prison, brother. I've seen what actually goes on. I don't know where you're getting your stats from. I've seen what actually goes on.
No, I'm saying in terms of the number, the types of transmission for women and for heterosexual men.
Okay.
It's not all because homeboy came out of jail and then went home.
What do you think it is then that if black women have the highest rate and most of them are heterosexual, and
I think I could add something to this is that you know, even if, you know, we do know that the HIV rate in the prison population is about five times what it is in the general population. So if you are moving through the, you know, the criminal justice system, you're going to be exposed to higher risks just in general. But, you know, what also happens is because you have a lot of eligible young, you know, black men who are not in the community, then that, you know, there's a ratio of men to women that is, you know, sort of skewed and made, you know, that's messed up. So, like, you know, you have so many eligible partners for women in communities, right? Okay, and so, right. You know, I think that the criminal justice system in general and the way that policing is handled in the United States has just, you know, has hit black communities in such a way that it actually sets us up for, you know, more cases of HIV because you have a lot of, you know, black men who are just taken out of the population of eligible bachelors, you know, so, right. You know, you have only so many men.
Right. Two more questions before we go. Treasure X said, also heard of children being born with HIV. Is it true? Also, is these children have the antibody to these diseases, or are they affected because they're infected parent? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, another great question. Yeah, so fortunately, you're required, if you are pregnant, you know, you get tested for HIV. And if it turns out that you are living with HIV, you know, you can go on medication, and that medication will result in you giving birth to a healthy child who will not be HIV positive. Right. So it's so important to get tested and to know your status. And then also that mother should know that, you know, I cannot breastfeed because I could potentially pass HIV through my breast milk.
Yeah. Last question for Treasure X. Maybe it should be mandatory for test results to be sent to the wives of these men getting out of prison.
I mean, because I look at it too, like, you know, if women are getting tested before they getting given birth and it's mandatory, I think men and women going in and out of the prison system should be tested and given their results. Now, whether I don't know whether you give it to their wives or whatever and stuff, but you know, they should know their status. Right. You know, going in and coming out. Mm-hmm. You know, then they, you know, the truth of the matter is most of these dudes lie. They will get out of prison and lie. They come out swole up. These girls love them, you know, because they went in prison and all they could do is swell up and read some books. And now they sound educated and they swole up. I mean, we gonna talk about reality, you know. And you know, it to me is just, it's a sad thing. You know, if you go in, you should get tested. When you come out, you should get tested. Too many of our people are dying, not knowing and passing it on from person to person, whether they're heterosexual or whether they're homosexual, whichever one they are, they're passing it on, and it keeps just getting worse and worse and worse. And it seemed like we as black people don't know how to strap up, put a condom on. We just out here flame dangling doozy with everybody and stuff like that, you know, and forget the condom that only, you know, you can get them free nowadays from health departments. They don't necessarily coach. I don't care what size you say you wear, whether it's the magnums or the regular, you can get them from most health departments. And here in Michigan, in our general area, we have where the health department will drop off condoms at certain places, stores, businesses. All you got to do is walk in and grab a hand. Most of them let you grab a handful of them. I know.
Right. Well, we can say this for a fact. Both our stations in Orlando, 98.5 and 103.7 and 106, have free condoms for the community.
Yes.
Thanks to Josh. In Orlando, we got a bunch of condos at the station, and thanks to the health department, Kathy, making sure that we have it in Muskegon. Before we go, it's HIV Awareness Day. What's the whole goal? To bring awareness, but you want folks to get tested too, right? That's what y'all want?
Absolutely. We want everyone to first normalize the conversation about sex. It's not taboo. It's not this hush hush thing. It's not this dirty wrong thing. It's the reason we're all here, and mm-hmm. we all love to do it. You know, we're right. just to raise a bit of awareness about the repercussions associated with condomless sex or having multiple partners. There's nothing wrong with that, and we're not saying that there is. But we just want people to identify all the risks that they have associated with their sexual lives. Mm-hmm. You know, get tested, you know, use condoms. There's PrEP has been around for a number of years now. It's pre-exposure prophylaxis. It's a medication that when taken daily, is one pill a day, reduces your chance of contracting HIV through sex by up to 99%. You know, and that's available for free, you know, through Hope and Health.
What's this pill called?
It's called PrEP.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Anyone?
You need a doctor to subscribe it to you?
You do need a doctor's prescription.
Okay. All right.
But we have many programs in Florida, largely PrEP Plus at Hope and Help. You within 72 business hours, you'd be signed up for it, and you have pills in hand. You know, and we want people to, again, just to get on PrEP, use condoms. Normalize the conversation about HIV and STIs. It's okay to get tested. There's no shame in that. Like, there were people, you know, with hoodies and sunglasses and baseball caps, you know, going to different places to get tested. Take that stuff off. Be happy that you're taking a bold step and procuring your own health and protecting those who are you're with. Exactly. There's nothing wrong with that. It's right. HIV, it's heart disease, it's diabetes, it's you know, stroke, all of those things, and they're all health issues. And they, you know, of those things, you know, all of them, they affect the Black community. But we just want people to end the stigma and get tested, use condoms, get on PrEP.
All right. Before we go, Hope and Help Network in Orlando. Tell the people who are not from the area about the Hope and Help Network and why they're so important.
Yeah, Hope and Help, we've been around since 1988, and so that it gives us a nice bit of leverage for all the work that we do in the community. But Adam's department focuses largely on community outreach and testing and getting people educated about HIV and STIs and assessing people to determine if they might be a great candidate for PrEP. We have a medical clinic as well with some great staff there who are very caring. The case management department, where we have people who they basically mitigate all the issues associated with someone being positive for HIV. For example, if you're having an issue with housing, or if you're in an abusive relationship, or you can't find dental care, your case manager is going to be your advocate to help you find those different resources. We have peer support. There's support groups as well. So everything that you need, we're a one-stop shop at Hope and Help to make sure that if you're on the negative end or if you're on the positive end, you have all the resources you need to make sure that you're just healthy and well.
All right. Thanks, my brothers. It's always good to talk to you, Josh.
Bobby, yes, sir.
Adam, yes, Bobby, yes. Man. Thanks for being a part of the conversation.
Awesome. All right. Have a great day, guys. Thank you.
Yep. All right.